Today, mirror, mirror. Markets wrestle with a matter of perspective. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is Post, covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. In the week that the UN voted for the correct map resolution, which replaces the traditional world map with one that more accurately reflects the size of Africa and shrinks Greenland, and where the US was the only nation to vote against it while there were six abstentions, I'm reminded that markets are also struggling with perspective. Federal Reserve Chair Kevin Walsh warned at his August 2026 Jackson Hole keynote that forward guidance creates a distorting hall of mirrors, where the central bank reacts to market prices while markets obsessively trade on the Fed. But bond yields do continue their incessant rise this week, with 10-year yields in the US up another 1.31%. The UK 10-year gilt was up 1.12%. The German 10-year was up 1.96%. And the Aussie was up 1.26%, to rates not seen for, well, a couple of decades. This is a signal that inflation will remain higher for longer. And while you could argue that on one hand this is not normal, it does also show that the market is responding to a fundamental supply and demand dynamic. Governments are needing to borrow more, a lot more, at a time when their focus on budget management and the costs of debt servicing is seemingly, well, non-existent. AI firms are borrowing big too, having already mopped up their free cash flows, issuing a stunning amount of bonds as circular funding takes hold. And meantime, governments appear less capable of managing a complex set of issues from war, energy, and AI, and the budget and more. This will not end well. Stock markets, though, continue their volatile run at a time of year, September, October, where historically is a big season for market corrections. The MSCI Global Index was flat for the week. The Stoxx 600 in Europe was down 0.81%, and the ASX 200 fell 0.95%, although the Asia excluding Japan index rose a strong 2.3%. Markets are stressed by fears of inflation and rate rises, but buttressed by the hopes of AI investments eventually paying off. That said, the latest data on the fees generated by LLMs appear to be sliding, according to the latest data. Timing of returns compared to the path of investments is key, and people have very different views on all of this. Elsewhere, Brent crude rose another 8.8% across the week on renewed hostilities surrounding Iran, while European gas futures rose again up another 7.2%. That takes them to higher than they've been for several years. Diesel prices are also rising. A gallon of diesel in the US now costs $5.85 on average, according to the AAA. The price of diesel could rise even further due to the sharp drawdown on inventories and as agricultural states in various parts of the country head into harvesting and the planting season. Diesel, of course, is a primary fuel for agricultural equipment. Its equivalent futures contract, heating oil, has also surged as winter approaches, as the claims and counterclaims about ownership of the Straits of Hormuz and how much oil and other products are actually getting through right now continue. Meanwhile, US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent on Thursday said the European Union had officially joined an operation spearheaded by Washington to economically squeeze Iran. And Vice President J.D. Vance told a White House briefing he was extremely skeptical that Iranian claims a US strike hit a wedding party were accurate, adding, "I wouldn't call it a war," when asked if fighting would end by the midterms. Shares in New York drifted low on Friday after August US payrolls report came in stronger than expected, bolstering bets that the Federal Reserve could lift interest rates later in the year. The S&P 500 was down 0.3% to 7,718.60. Consumer discretionary led 8 of the benchmark's 11 industry sectors lower. The Dow fell 0.51%, while the Nasdaq dropped 0.29%. For the week, the S&P rose 0.1%, the Nasdaq added 0.4%, the Dow slipped 0.3%, and the volatility index was up 1.4% to 14.53. Lululemon Athletica tumbled 17.4% after the activewear brand cut its full-year profit and revenue forecasts, and Adobe dropped 6.7% following its announcement that the longtime CEO will be succeeded by an insider. Non-farm payrolls increased 162,000 last month, and July's job losses were revised away. The August increase topped all estimates. The unemployment rate remained at 4.1%, so inflation is a bigger problem than the labour market for the Fed. Sure, there may be some more revisions, but the read bolstered the case for the Fed to raise rates. The probability of a 25 basis point increase rose to 58.4% from 49.4% the previous session. That probability had reached nearly 70% earlier in the week. September now looks live, especially following Walsh's Jackson Hole comments about being serious about the 2% target, though President Donald Trump renewed his pressure campaign for lower rates. In a social media post on Friday, Trump exhorted Kevin Walsh, who he chose to succeed Jerome Powell as the Fed chairman, lower the rate or I'll stop trading with countries with which we have a deficit, Trump posted. High interest rates put the USA at a very unfair disadvantage, and I won't allow that to happen. Short-term yields eased after the post came out, at least for a short time. President Donald Trump rescued treasuries, you could say, after the jobs report, for a time at least. And Trump, in a separate post, said, "How crazy is this? We just got great numbers on jobs. The market should go up because our credit and economy are better. But, as always, for the past 25 years, the stock market goes down because we're living under false reality that if things are good, you've got to kill it because of a fear of inflation. It should be the opposite, and always was until 25 years ago. Growth does not cause inflation." I knew this morning, as soon as I looked at these fantastic job numbers, that the market would go down when it should be going up like a rocket ship, he added. Trump's assertion of low interest rates brings to mind similar pressure applied by the US president on ex-Fed chair Jerome Powell. During his tenure, Trump had frequently criticized Powell for not easing policy, calling him names such as too late and opening a criminal investigation into him, leading to worries over the central bank's independence. Since Walsh's takeover in May, Trump had appeared to be less vocal about cutting rates, but now Fed Chair Kevin Walsh faces a squeeze. Risk presidential ire by tightening monetary policy at the central bank's meeting in 2 weeks, or skip it and risk a hit to credibility after his own recent hawkish rhetoric. Actually, the jobs blowout reading severely undercut earlier dovish signals from Federal Reserve officials, including Governor Christopher Waller and New York Fed President John Williams, who had both advocated a wait-and-see approach to monetary policy. But the central bank's preferred measure of inflation, the personal consumption expenditures, the PCE price index, has remained well above its long-term target of 2%, actually for 65 straight months, leading to ructions within the Federal Open Market Committee over the future path of monetary policy. From 2009 to 2021, shown in red here, the core PCE exceeded 2% only 5 times, 3 in 2012 and 2 in 2018. The average inflation rate for this near 12-year period was 1.56%, but post-COVID in blue, it actually hit 65 consecutive months above the 2% target, something Walsh specifically highlighted at his Jackson Hole speech. In its latest reading, and its latest reading is still above 3%. Its average has been 3.53%, fully 2% higher than the previous cycle. The problem with inflation is not that it is accelerating necessarily, but it is not disinflating enough to get anywhere close to 2%. It's still well above 3%. Producer price inflation data is due on Thursday of this coming week, and the consumer price inflation report is scheduled for Friday. Economists expect the core CPI to ease to 2.4% on the year from 2.5%, but still above target. Turning to currencies, the US dollar caught a bid on Friday after the August jobs report, but the dollar was headed nevertheless for a weekly loss, helped by a slide in US Treasury yields on Thursday and a sharp rally in the Japanese yen. The US dollar index, which tracks the greenback against a basket of six major peers, climbed 0.3% to 99.16, but for the week, the gauge was down 0.5%. The standout performer of the week was the yen, though. It weakened on Friday. The easing follows an explosive 1.9% surge in the previous session, which took the yen to a one-month high of 155.3, a move that triggered widespread market speculation over whether Japanese authorities had stepped into foreign exchanges again. Despite the absence of confirmed official intervention, the yen was set for a 2.5% weekly gain, its strongest weekly performance since late July. The rally has been driven by mounting bets that the Bank of Japan governor and the governing council will deliver a 25 basis point rate hike at their September 17th, 18th meeting and will signal further policy normalization into 2027. Japan's top currency diplomat, Ashushi Mimura, warned on Friday that Tokyo remains alert and in close contact with US authorities, keeping short sellers cautious. The euro was up 0.2% for the week ahead of the European Central Bank's interest rate decision on September the 10th. Markets unanimously expect the bank to hike its key policy rate by 25 basis points. And gold futures for December delivery were down 1.39% to 4,477 a troy ounce. European equities retreated on Friday afternoon following the US non-farm payrolls report. The pan-European Stoxx 600 slipped 0.1%, but remained pinned near its lowest level in over a month, and capping a turbulent week dominated by rising sovereign borrowing costs and Persian Gulf supply disruptions. France's CAC 40 fell 0.24% to hover near multi-week troughs, but Germany's DAX outperformed its peers, rising 0.5% as a major corporate agreement at Volkswagen offset broader macroeconomic headwinds. It gained 5.7% to be the top gainer in the DAX index. The supervisory board of Europe's largest automaker struck a turnabout agreement that averted an escalation with unions and shareholder Lower Saxony. London stocks ended little changed on Friday, with concerns over elevated government borrowing costs and inflation offsetting gains in parts of the market, with the FTSE down 0.2%, dragged down by rate-sensitive domestic names despite ongoing commodity support for energy majors. The UK two-year gilt was at 4.374%, again signalling higher rates ahead. Asian stock markets climbed on Friday with technology shares leading gains, and investors took heart from a rally on Wall Street after Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller eased fears of an imminent US interest rate hike. That was before the jobs report, of course. Timing is everything. Japan's Nikkei rose 1.3%, with tech investor SoftBank Group surging over 10%. Gains in Japanese shares were limited by a sharply stronger yen. The yen gained about 2.6% across the week, as markets increasingly priced in the possibility of a Bank of Japan rate hike at its September meeting. And Japan drew $1.4 billion worth in the second straight week of inflows from international investors. South Korea's KOSPI ended 1.6% higher, with Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix rising 2.4% and 3.7% respectively. Hong Kong's Hang Seng jumped nearly 2%, with Chinese tech giants Alibaba and Baidu rising 3 and 4.5% respectively. Technology stocks benefited from the softer interest rate outlook. AI-related stocks were also boosted after OpenAI launched its latest model, GPT-6 Astra, as investors assess the implications of faster advances in AI capabilities. In China, the Shanghai Composite Index fell 0.4% and the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 edged 0.2% lower, bucking the regional trend. Beijing had unveiled a new package of measures earlier in the week to expand consumer goods spending, strengthening expectations that policymakers will provide further support for domestic demand. The broader advance in consumer and auto stocks came after China published an implementation guideline on Monday aimed at expanding and upgrading consumer demand. The guideline, jointly issued by 7 government departments, including the Ministry of Commerce and the National Development and Reform Commission, aims to lift total retail sales for consumer goods to around 60 trillion yuan, $8.85 trillion, by 2030. It also targets the creation of 10 trillion yuan markets in areas including green, smart, and health-related consumption. The measures cover 4 broad areas: durable goods, everyday consumer products, specialty products, and upgraded goods. Beijing also called for greater support for automobile consumption, smart home products, and green and health-orientated goods, directly expanding the potential addressable market for several of the companies seeing gains on Tuesday, including BYD. The policy comes as China's consumer recovery remains relatively subdued. Beijing said it would expand automobile consumption across the entire industrial chain while continuing support for trade-ins. The latest measures build on a broader consumption push already underway. China announced its first dedicated 5-year plan for expanding consumption back in July, with the same 60 trillion yuan 2030 retail sales target, while lower tier cities and rural areas were also being targeted as new sources of domestic demand. However, China's equities extended their losing streak to a 5th straight week, with outflows of $5.3 billion, while tech funds posted their biggest outflow since June at $1.5 billion, and financials saw a 5th straight week of outflows at $900 million. So investors are voting with their feet. The India Nifty 50 was up on Friday, but was down for the week again. Australian shares closed Friday and the week lower, as tech gains failed to offset energy losses, with investors digesting surging borrowing costs, high oil prices, and an unexpectedly resilient local economy. The ASX 200 eased 0.2% to 9,005, with 5 of the 11 sectors ending in the red. The benchmark recorded a 1% loss for the week, as stronger than expected economic growth in Australia prompted economists and traders to dial up expectations of another interest rate rise. GDP growth will still be strong enough to reinforce expectations that the Reserve Bank is on track to raise rates again, with some now talking of 2 more rate hikes versus none 2 weeks ago, said the Deputy Chief Economist at AMP. The RBA has led the developed world by raising interest rates 3 times this year to contain runaway inflation, unsuccessfully so far. Traders say there's a 65% chance of a 4th increase at the September 29th policy meeting and 100% by November. Oh, and a 20% probability of 2 rate hikes ahead. On the ASX, energy stocks weighed on the market once again, falling even as crude oil held above $95 a barrel. The sector was dragged down by fuel refiner Ampol, dropping 6% to $41.65, and Viva Energy 3.7% to $2.90, as both traded ex-div. The mining giants also came under pressure despite stronger prices for iron ore and copper. Rio Tinto lost 0.7% to $125.90, and BHP shed 2.4% to $60.25. Gold producers, however, had a better run as bullion held above 4,400 US an ounce. Newmont gained nearly 2% to $178.31, trailed by Perseus Mining up 2% to $6.77. The big banks traded sideways with CBA, NAB and ANZ all slipping just a little, around 0.2%, while Westpac crossed the line with a 0.1% gain to $34.96. After opening the green, corporate travel's brief respite collapsed into a 3% slide to $2.25, compounding a devastating sell-off that saw the embattled travel agent crash 86% on its return from suspension a day earlier. In contrast, Regis Healthcare mounted a partial recovery, surging more than 5% to $4.54 to claw back ground a day after a brutal 27% plunge sparked by a stark warning that government funding hikes will fall well short of surging operational costs. In corporate news, car retailer Peter Warren Automotive rallied 3.2% to 80 cents after receiving approval from the competition watchdog to acquire dealership operator Wakeling Automotive, provided it sells 8 sites. Nine Entertainment dived 7.3% to 91.5 cents in its biggest single-day loss for the year as billionaire media mogul Bruce Gordon tightened his grip on the company by pushing his stake past 31%. The Aussie was at 72.04 US cents and 53.29 UK pence. The two-year bond was last at 4.819%, again signalling higher rates ahead. Bitcoin rose sharply in Asian trading on Friday, but lost a chunk of those gains and then turned lower after the latest report showed that the US jobs growth accelerated meaningfully in August, boosting expectations for that Federal Reserve rate hike later in the month. This in turn strengthened the dollar and weighed on risk assets such as equities. However, the world's largest cryptocurrency had a 2% weekly gain, helped by encouraging comments on US regulation from top officials. Bitcoin was last at 79,709 US after earlier this week soaring to 82,178. That's the highest level since the middle of May. The prospect of steady rates bodes well for Bitcoin, given that its speculative nature leaves it highly sensitive to shifts in yields. The crypto's late August rally was cut short by a brief spike in yields. Bitcoin was also encouraged by comments from Securities and Exchange Commission Chair Paul Atkins, who said he expects the Senate to vote on the closely watched Clarity Act on September the 15th. He called on policymakers to pass the act and send it to President Donald Trump for approval by the month end. Atkins also said that the SEC was preparing its own crypto legislation that could function alongside the Clarity Act, which has largely stalled in Congress. Crypto markets have closely watched the Clarity Act as the next big step for regulatory credibility, but the act has been long delayed due to persistent disagreements over its treatment of stablecoin yield payments and its language around restricting policymakers from trading in crypto markets. Some crypto stocks log strong gains, with top corporate Bitcoin holder Strategy rallying nearly 80% on Thursday and more on Friday to $140.80. Broader crypto prices, though, slipped on Friday in light of the rise in Fed rate expectations, but most altcoins still headed for a weekly gain. World number two crypto Ethereum shed 2.2% to 2,461.4, but was up 1% for the week. XRP, though, lost 4.4%, but was sitting on a weekly rise of 1.4%. Now, standing back, Bank of America says whatever it takes policy intervention is sort of working to hold down bond yields, and strategist Michael Harnett is telling investors to stay long commodities and gold as a result. Policy panic is working, Harnett and his team wrote, pointing to the surging Japanese yen as evidence that efforts to defend key market thresholds, including $4 a gallon for gas, a $160 yen, and 5% treasury yields. With central banks now leaning towards rate hikes to restore credibility and to ward off a bond yield surge, Harnett says the priority is protecting the nominal macro boom and asset price bull market, and that investors should stay long commodities and debasement hedges such as gold. Commenting on the broader backdrop, Harnett noted that 10-year rolling returns for US stocks and commodities are running at 15% and 11% respectively, while treasuries have delivered a fall of 2%, the worst 10-year stretch in 100 years. And he argues that such negative long-run returns have historically marked strong entry points, drawing on comparisons to 1939, 1974, and 2009 for stocks, and 1933 and 2018 for commodities. So Harnett further touched on the upcoming US midterms, saying investors have largely shrugged off election risk. He believes that a Democratic sweep is unlikely given a tough Senate map, and points out that the administration has governed increasingly through executive action rather than Congress. But Harnett also flagged that the odds are shifting. Trump's appeal rating has slipped to a 35 to 40% range, well below the historical average of 53%, 2 months out from a midterm election. And prediction markets now show a 50% probability of a Democratic sweep. Such a sweep would trigger a sharp risk-off move, he says, a stock slump exceeding 10%, along with declines in the dollar and bond yields, while a surprise Republican sweep would be a green light for further risk-taking, he said. A split outcome of a Republican Senate and Democratic House, he said, would have a modest risk-on scenario he called gridlock equals Goldilocks. And here's the point. As well as all of the other issues that we're facing, the midterms are also something to think about too, which takes me right back to it's a matter of perspective. How do you weigh all of these different factors? Do you think that the midterm is going to be a significant factor? Do you think that inflation is going to get under control, or will rates just simply have to rise a lot higher? And will the AI pay back, or will it not? At a time of such big questions, and frankly, poor management from many governments around the place, you've got to say, volatility ahead, lots of risk, and massive uncertainty. Sure, people will make money through these volatile times, but remember, September and October tends to be the worst time in the year for markets, especially stock markets. In the light of current uncertainty, it's certainly quite possible that we will see movements to the downside over the next few weeks. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.